Well, thank you very much, and it's an incredible honor to be with you and to speak here. It really is. I want you to know, as I really thought about what to share, I thought, what would happen? I'd get in a silver DeLorean, you know, go back in time, see myself in chapel, and sit down and just have a one-on-one conversation. What would I want to know? And so I want you to hear my heart for you, and just to encourage you to hopefully give you some strength as you go forward and to do what God has called you to do. I've never been more excited, more positive what God wants to do in so many of your lives, and to see the kingdom of God advancing in some of the most darkest of places. And so I want to talk about something that I think so many times the evil one uses in our lives to discourage us from going forward, to continue to move forward, to do the things that God has called us to do. And it really falls down in this idea of our expectations. And so just turn to your neighbor and say, hey, what are you expecting? Come on, you can talk. This is not like quiet time. What are you expecting? Because here's the thing. If we sat down and like, hey, let's have a cup of coffee, and we sat down and we chatted, I mean, you would tell me your expectations. You would tell me what you wanted to do and what you felt God was leading you to do and where God was kind of bringing you, and you have all these ideas, and those are incredible. But what I want to talk about is, what do you do when you have these expectations, but God doesn't move the way you thought he would move? So what do you do when you say, okay, God, will you do this? And God, I sense it, I'm going forward, I'm pushing forward, I'm going ahead, but you had this expectation, but God didn't show up when you wanted to, how you wanted to, and the way you wanted to do. It's in those moments, I'm telling you, it's in those moments in the midst of ministry that you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to get defeated, and you're going to begin to doubt, and you're going to begin to wonder, and you're going to begin to go, well, I don't know if I even want to do this anymore. So what do you do in those moments? What do you do in those times? Because what begins to happen in those moments is there's a question that will begin to rattle in the context of your mind. And it's the question, does God really care? I mean, come on, God. Do you really care? Are you really in control? I mean, what's going on? Do you really care about what's happening in the midst of my life? God, what are you doing? And doubt creeps in, discouragement happens, and it's in these moments we just wonder, I mean, God, do you really care? But what's incredible to me is we're not the first ones to struggle with this. I think Jesus kind of knows that this is going to be a struggle in the midst of our lives. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 10. It's in this season that Jesus comes, and Matthew is there. Matthew is a real guy who has some real struggles. And he has all these expectations of how he wants God to move and how he wants God to work. And he sits down, and Jesus is going to give a little pep talk to his disciples. He's about to send them off. And I mean, he shares some incredible, like crazy, weird things when he sends them out. And they're all pumped up because he's the Messiah. The kingdom of God is coming. And this is what they've been waiting for. And so God is here. Jesus Christ is going to begin to give them this little talk. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. So look what he says. Now think about this. This is like you on the first day of going to the mission field, or first day about to enter into your church. And you say, Jesus, give me a pep talk. And here's what he says. Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Whoa, time out, Jesus. Come on. Shouldn't that be reversed? Like, shouldn't I be like a wolf going in to conquer all the bad things that are happening? I mean, sheep among wolves, that doesn't sound very exciting. That doesn't like, hurrah, I'm ready to go. I mean, Jesus, are you being legit here? Like you just said, we're about to do great things for God, but now you told us we're going to be like sheep. And there's going to be like wolves, like literally wolves who are going to be attacking us. Jesus, this is not what I imagined when I signed up for this. So Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he knows they're going to start struggling with this. He knows they're going to start struggling with this. So get on to verse 28. So here's what he says. He says, do not be what? Afraid. Do not be afraid. Wait, Jesus, you're telling us bad things are going to happen. Like we thought we followed you, good things would happen. We thought we would follow your plan and everything would work out just perfect. I mean, everything would fall into place. You know, it would go super smooth and everything would line up just the way we wanted to line up. So Jesus, you're saying don't be afraid, but bad things will happen. Jesus, I don't know what you're saying here. And Jesus is extremely clear. Like you don't read this text, go, man, I wonder what Jesus is saying. I just don't get this. Don't be afraid, right? I mean, this is literal. So this is the number one command of Jesus. Do not be afraid. We're not scratching our head going, I don't know what that means. I mean, come on. You don't have to teach New Testament to get this, all right? Do not be what? Afraid. Don't be afraid. This is a command. It's not an option. This is a command. So here's what he's doing. Jesus is inviting us in. Listen, he's saying, I want you to come in because if you can begin to see what I see, you can get to a point where you never have to live in fear again. Jesus, well, what does that mean? He says, well, let me tell you. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. What? Jesus? Yeah. But cannot kill the soul. Just let me tell you, hey, you're going to your new church, your new mission field. Things are going to be bad. I'm telling you, people are going to kill you, harass you, betray you, and you're going to be like a sheep among wolves. Jesus, I don't know if you're used to giving pep talks, but this isn't very good, right? I mean, I'm not feeling all bubbly up inside after you saying this. So I don't know what you're getting at, Jesus. What are you talking about? He says, no, I'm going to teach you something about God that if you can begin to see and if you can begin to comprehend, you can live in a state where you do not fear, you do not doubt, you do not worry, even if bad things happen, even if the worst case scenarios begin to develop in the midst of your life. So he says, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid. To which we go, okay, what is the Jesus? Like, afraid? Don't be afraid. You're like, what? I'm not comprehending the reality here. He says, just hold on. Rather, be afraid of the one. The one? Yeah, the one. The big one. Why? Who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So Jesus says, listen, you're going to face circumstances that can harm you. You're going to face circumstances that are going to be struggling. But don't be afraid. And he gives the why here. Now let's just pause. Man, I wish I could just take you out of the... And just let you see it. He pulls us in and says, listen, what we want him to say is, hey, don't be afraid. Why? Because, man, everything's going to work out great for you. You'll never be tempted. You'll never struggle. Like you'll get up and you'll preach the gospel and like thousands will come and your name will be on Outreach Magazine and everybody will love you, or you'll be the next, you know, going into the mission field and everybody will be like, wow, and you'll bring revival to the world. Like we want him to say, hey, listen, it's going to be okay. Everything is going to work out just as you wanted, just as you planned, just as you desired. But Jesus comes in and says, listen, don't be afraid. People are going to come against you in hard ways, and you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to feel defeated, but don't be afraid. Why? Because look what he says. What he's getting at, it says, don't be afraid of those who can just kill the body but can't kill the soul. Be afraid of the one who can kill the body and the soul. Here's what he's getting. This is really profound. Jesus says, you're not going to be immune to hardship, tragedy, and hurt in the midst of your ministry, but don't be afraid of that. Why? Because every circumstance you face, every situation you come against, every tough time you battle with, every enemy you come up against is limited in what it could do in the midst of your life. It's limited. It can get to a point, it can only do so much to you and in you and through you. Yes, it might hurt you. Yes, it might kill you. Yes, it might harass you. But the reality is, it cannot destroy you. So Jesus says, listen, don't be afraid of those who are limited by their power. If you're going to choose to live in fear of the one who is unlimited in his power and what he can do. So if you're going to choose to have doubt or fear or worry, be in fear of the one who has no limit to what he can do, because he can do whatever he wants to do. And Jesus says, I want you to see God. I want you to see him as I see him. That God is bigger. He's without limits to anything you face. And I think Matthew is here, man. I think this is legit. I think Matthew's there writing this, and he like lifts up his eyes going, Jesus, okay, don't fear, but fear the one. Jesus, I don't know if you're like tracking, but like if you were a motivational speaker, you'd be failing right now. Because I don't know if you like get, this isn't like ooey gooey to our souls, Jesus. And Jesus, I know, but I want you to see something that's so hard to grasp. Everything has limits. Other than the living God. Everything has limits other than the living God. There's a word we use for this, and it's called infinite, right? God is infinite. He's without limits. He's immeasurable, unquantifiable, uncontainable, unbound, utterly without limit. And I don't know, maybe you're brilliant. But I struggle with this concept. I mean, just without limits. It still always amazes me, takes my breath away. But this is what Jesus is getting at. The God is without limits. He is infinite. He's unlimited in his power and his knowledge and his presence and his control. God is unlimited in power, unlimited in his knowledge, unlimited in his very presence, unlimited in his control. There is no limit to what God can do, where God is at, and what God knows. In Psalm 135, verse 6, it says, the Lord does whatever pleases him. Of course he does. Why? He's God. A God with unlimited power can do whatever he wants. Why? He has unlimited power. He's infinite. So God is infinite. And Jesus says, listen, if you're going to decide to live in fear about something or someone, then you really need to fear the one who is infinite in all things. God has no limits. And then what Jesus says next, though, is a game changer. What he says next changes every single thing there is. He asks him a question. Here's what he says, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Now put yourself in this situation. Hey, you're like a sheep. Wolves are going to come. They're going to attack you. Hey, some of you are going to die. But oh yeah, by the way, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? To which we go, say what? I mean, come on, Jesus. You're like all over the map. What do you mean? Yeah, I mean, of course, two sparrows are sold for a penny. I mean, sparrows are worthless. They're nothing. They're trivial. I mean, you never waste time on a sparrow. You never really bother with a sparrow. They're cheap, insignificant, nothing. To which Jesus says, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Now, here's where he connects the dots. Listen, this God who is infinite, he uses his infinite ability to care for you and care for things that you look at as trivial, insignificant, that you don't really give a rip about. Sparrows. I never see anybody waking up in the middle of the night going, man, I'm worried about those sparrows. Oh, just those sparrows, sparrows, sparrows. Like, that doesn't happen, right? You know, sparrows. But Jesus, you realize the God that we serve, a God who is infinite, cares for them in such a way he cares for them like a father cares for his children. Things that you don't even worry about, he cares as a father. And then he says something remarkable that speaks right to the heart of the question, does God care? And here's what he says. He says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You see, this God is beyond limits, who can do anything. He actually cares for you, that he's so close to you. He actually has taken the time to those things that you think are trivial, right? He is so consumed and so close to you that he knows the numbers of hair upon your head. He knows how many you lost today. He knows how many of you grown today. He knows where they've grown, how they've grown. I mean, everything. He knows everything about you. That God knows the details of everything that is happening to you. Everything. He knows what is going on in you. He knows what's going on around you. He knows what's going to go on in your future. He knows what goes on in your past. Now I have a wife, four kids, and three of those kids are girls. And I grew up in a home with all boys. So, like, I'm a part of a different tribe. I really feel like I've never grew up on this planet with, like, girls, because it's crazy. It blows my mind. So my girls will all the time come up, and, like, I never had to learn how to do a ponytail. Like, that never was in my vocabulary. Now I have these girls coming up to me, ponytail, ponytail, and, you know, brush my hair, daddy, and daddy, there's humps or lumps in my hair. I was like, I don't know what that means, just ponytail. And so, like, it's freaking me out. This is all new language and all new stuff going on. And so my girls will come to me, and they got this long hair, and I'll brush it. I love my girls. Let me tell you, I lay down my life for my girls. I've never gone in my life, go, hair number one, two, three. I don't have time for that, right? I go, like, hair, like, brush, let's get out the door, let's go. I never take time to, like, literally, like, count their hairs, because that's just so trivial to me, right? That's beyond. I don't have time for that. And yet, Jesus says, listen, I want you to see that God actually knows that type of detail in the midst of your life. Things that you and I, even people we love and drawn close to, that we go, I don't have time for that. I don't know all that. He actually has the ability and the understanding to come in and count the numbers of our head. And Jesus is here. He's pushing us. He says, so don't be afraid. He issues the command again. Listen, I'm being legit when I say this. Do not be afraid. The God who cares for sparrows and counts our hairs, he wants you to know something that you'll miss. And there will be times that you'll wonder. And there'll be times you go, why? And you'll ask God, does he care? And you'll be there. Last Easter, and we had a baptism after Easter, and had the opportunity to just baptize hundreds of people and see God move in an incredible way. And, like, you're on this high. And 2 weeks later, I get a call, my wife crying from school saying, hey, my little daughter can't see, vision gone. Like woke up, went to school, everything legit, everything fine, comes back, call, now she can't see. So then you do a bunch of tests and you just keep wondering, okay, why God? Why this high, now this low? I mean, what's going on? God, I can't comprehend. God, do you really care? And you're gonna face this. You're gonna face these struggles. And you're gonna wonder. In the midst of your ministry, in the midst of your life, you're gonna wonder. And so what Jesus does is that God wants you to know and speaks right to the heart of the question, does he care? And here's what he says. Verse 31, so do not be afraid. Why, Jesus? You are worth more, far more valuable to God than many, 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 many sparrows. You're far more valuable, far more precious to God. That God cares for you more than he does anything else in his creation. For you, the pinnacle of creation itself, and he loves you, and you're made in the very image of God, and designed to love God and find life itself in God. That God cares. Yes, God is infinite, but he uses his infinite, limitless ability to watch over you and care for you. Jesus says, I want you to see this. I want you to see the God who is infinite. Yes, but not just the God who is infinite, but the God who also knows you intimately, the God who really does care for you, who loves you, who seeks you, who has incredible love and passion for you. And Jesus is not exaggerating, right? I mean, when Jesus says, hey, God knows the number of your hairs, he's not just like throwing out words. I mean, he literally believes. Like if you're gonna take the scripture literally, then you gotta take it literally. He literally is saying, God knows the very details of your life that he actually knows the number of hairs on your head. This is the God who is intimate in knowledge about you, that he cares about you, that he cares about your body, your family, your finances, your relationships, your future, everything in your life that is unique to you, he cares about because you are unique to him, that he loves you and has a concern for you, and his concern for you is like a father for his kids, and everything in your life, there's nothing that he overlooks, nothing that's trivial. This is what Jesus is pushing us to see, the very heart of the living God. He says, I want you to see this God who's beyond our imagination, that it's not just that God cares for you in some general, you know, kind of big way, but God actually cares for you in a very intimate, personal, unique way, just for you, that he knows the very hairs on the top of your head. That's how intimate he is with you. That's how personal he is. And I confess, like I struggle with this, because I go, how could God uniquely love me? Like I live on a planet of 7.5 billion people. How could God uniquely care about my worries and my fears and my concerns and my heart? I mean, there's a lot more people out there that he should be concerned with, right? I don't run a country. I don't deal with billions of dollars that people lose livelihoods over. I mean, come on, God, if you're really going to be uniquely, specifically involved in the cares of people, like I probably on the lower part of the ever list that you have of importance. So God, how in the world, in the sea of humanity, God, could you love me? And here's the question, because you're gonna answer this and you're gonna be pushed into situations where you're gonna go, hey, God loves you, but what type of love is that? Is this some general kind of over the, you know, hey, God loves you? Or does he love you in the very intimate way that he knows the very details of your life? I mean, can God do that? Does he do that? I mean, does God's heart break when your heart breaks? Does he laugh when you laugh? I don't know about you, but that's hard for me. I mean, that's hard. I know it in my mind, but it's hard in the very essence of my heart to rest in that. How can he do that on a planet, billions of people? How? Why would God want to know me? Me. And so this summer, my church is so gracious. It gives me several weeks off in the summer to just invest in my family. So we're near the beach. My family loves to surf, so we went over to the beach for a week. And my plan was that I just wanted to read through the Bible and not read through the Bible because, hey, you know, the weekend's coming. Read through the Bible because I just wanted to continue to fall in love with the Lord. And so I'm just reading the Bible, and this question keeps hitting me over and over again. You know, how can you be so intimate with me when there's all these other people in the world? I mean, come on, God. And I'm struggling with this. And God, I don't understand. So I take my family, and we go to the Museum of Arts and Science. It's in Daytona Beach. It's not too far for us. And we went over there, and we're watching this in the planetarium, and they have all these pictures of the solar system, these planets, and it just takes your breath away. And I'm seeing these, colossal planets, and I'm about to get all Pentecostal charismatic in the planetarium, right? Because I'm like, God, you are big. I mean, I'm about to shout in this place and go out because I'm seeing the glory, like the glory of God is being declared through the creation here, and I'm seeing how big and how vast, and they're talking about our sun compared to the other suns, and how big our galaxy is, or small our galaxy is compared to the other galaxy, and just showing all these Hubble Space Telescope pictures, and I'm just sitting there, my breath is being taken away, and I absolutely believe that God spoke and the world was created. Like, I believe he has that power, right? That God, this God that we serve, is the atom-holding, earth-spinning, galaxy-sustaining, life-giving source of every single thing we see. Like, I don't have a problem with that. This God who is infinite. And then it clicked. I mean, it was one of those light bulb moments that where God just said, okay, once again, I'm going to show you. He says, James, you have no problem with me as this infinite God, but you realize the reason I'm so infinite is the reason I can be so intimate. You see, you can't understand how I can be so intimate because you're looking through the lens of a finite human being. But you got to begin to see who I am. I'm the infinite God, and in my infinite ability, that's what gives me the ability to love you so intimately. The same God who spoke creation is so big and so powerful that he personally knows me and my cares and my worries. Because God is infinite, he's intimate. And listen, I knew this. Listen, I got it. I knew this. I knew transcendence and immanence. And I mean, I knew this, but it was in that moment. It was powerful moments where the two kind of collided. And when they collided, it gave me just this new wow, this praise, this honor of who God is and what he's doing. That he's not limited to hear or know or care or love one person at a time like we are, but he can care for you as if you were the only one that ever existed. Why? Because he's infinite in his power. God is infinitely intimate in caring for you in every facet of your life. So think about this. Let's just think for a moment. We'd say God is infinite in power, right? Infinite in power. So because of that, he's intimately working out the very details of my life, even the little details of whether a hair falls off my head or hopefully stays there. He's intimately involved. You see, why? Because he has infinite power. With infinite power, he can do infinite things, which means he can intimately begin to work in the midst of my life. There's nothing beyond his control. There's nothing I face that he can't speak into, work into, move into that changes everything. I mean, we're about to celebrate the resurrection, right? If we really believe that Jesus Christ predicted his own death and resurrection, had the power to pull it off, and now says, yeah, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. There's nothing I cannot do. And now, by the way, I'm sending you out in that. Should we ever be afraid? You see, this is what he's getting. I have infinite power, and I'm using that infinite power to intimately work in the midst of your life. Or we say things like, God is infinite in knowledge, which means he knows every single thing. Because he's infinite in knowledge, think about what he does. He uses infinite knowledge to intimately guide us in every aspect of our lives, which means God specifically knows the most smallest of details in the midst of your life. Why? He's infinite in knowledge, but not only does he know it in your life, he knows it in the person next to you and 7.5 billion people who live on planet Earth. Now that blows my mind, right? But this is an infinite God. There's no limits upon his knowledge, which means there's no limit upon what he knows, this very minute details of the midst of our lives, which means he can intimately guide you and direct you into particular issues that you're facing on a consistent basis. God is infinite in presence, which means he can be all places at all times. He can be with you and he can be with me. in the same time. Now, that's incredible, right? Because I can only like I walk into my house and all of a sudden, you know, four little kids, daddy, let me tell you about our day. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, time out, you know, one at a time. Because I can't like sit down and listen to you and be intimately involved in you and not, so I struggle with this. But here's God and says, listen, come to me. I don't care, come to me. The whole earth, come to me. I can hear you. I can be with you. We can have this one-on-one as if you were the only one. Because I'm infinite in my presence. Therefore, I can intimately be involved, completely involved in what's going on in the midst of your life on a consistent basis. And I'm a God who's infinite in control. Infinite in control. Which means he can intimately protect you no matter where you are, what you face. He can intimately care for you by working everything out for you for your good. And here's what this means to me. That this means he knows what is best just for you, when it's best for you, and working out what's best just for you. Just for you. Just for you. This is where Jesus, come on. You see, because he is infinite in control, that means he can intimately protect you, guide you, direct you, because he knows exactly what is best for you. And sometimes you're getting all mad because God's doing certain things in different people's lives, and you're going, God, why not me? Why not me? And the answer is because it's not best for you right now. I love you, and I know what's best for you. And I'm always working for your good. I mean, if we are believers in Christ, called according to his purpose, his promise is what? I'll work everything out for your good, everything. You never have to doubt. I'm in control. I'm working this for you. The God is infinite, and that's what allows him to be so intimate that he knows even the very hairs on your head, that he's working out all things for your good. And this changed everything when I connected these two. It changed me. There's no limit to God's ability to personally care, relate, know, love you, because he is infinite, limitless in all of that. So now listen, based on that, now just listen, I'm just gonna read a couple of scriptures very quickly. And I want you to take not this general, yeah, God loves me, he cares for me. I want you to think me as if I'm the only one, because that's what Jesus just broke apart, right? That's what he just told us. He knows where your hair's on your head, he loves you, even the things you think are trivial. So listen to these other scriptures and let them come alive to you. Listen to this, I'm gonna read them quickly. Psalm 56 verse 8, you keep track of all my sorrows, and you have collected all my tears in your bottle, and you've recorded each one in your book. This is how I read that. It blows my mind. Here's what's happening. God has a little journal. He's like, here's my day with James. And my name's all over his book. Me. You. He writes a journal with your name on it. Here's my one-on-one. I love that little girl. That's my boy. Wow. That's my boy there. Man, he got the test coming up. Those teachers. Whoo. I'll get to them later, right? Those profs. But that's my boy there. That's my boy. Isaiah 62, verse 5. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. I mean, this just is earth-shattering. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. This is not general language, right? This is intimate language. One of the cool parts I have about being in ministry is I get to officiate weddings, and I get to sit there and I'm getting with the groom. I'm right next to the groom, you know, and we're like anticipating. Everybody stands up, and all of a sudden the bride walks in, and every groom, I love looking at their faces. Like I have this like in-depth, I'm looking here and looking there, and just these faces. And at that moment, I mean, the groom is just, his heart is so attached to the bride walking in, right? His heart is just like, that's my woman. I've never been with a guy going, I don't know if she's the one. I was thinking about that one over there today. Right? That doesn't happen. The man's like, that's my woman. And he's looking at her. Do you realize that's how God looks at you? Yes. That's my woman. That's my man. That's my bride. Come on. I don't love you in some general way. My heart beats when I see you come in. This is God's heart for us. This is the beauty of the God that we come to. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior, and he will take delight in you with gladness. Like, God just doesn't put up with me. Through Christ, I stand before him, holy and perfect in Christ and through Christ, which means he finds complete delight in me, because delight isn't based on me. It's based on what Christ has done for me, and he can't delight any more than in Christ. And so he delights fully in me because now I am in Christ. So like God just doesn't put up with me. He doesn't go, well, I guess got to hang out with James today. He delights to be with me. He delights to be with you. There's goodness. I mean, there's a joy in his heart that he actually delights. There's this joy that comes as he's with you. And with his love and affection are attached to your well-being. It means when you're joyful, he's joyful. When you weep, he weeps. And you say, how can he do that to me? Because he's infinite. Don't miss this. Because he's so infinite, he can be so incredibly intimate. He delights in you with gladness. Then he keeps saying, with his love, he will calm all your fears. With his love, he calms all your fears. And he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Like, God has a mixtape with your name on it. And some of you are going, what's a mixtape? I know, it's foreign to you. Like, there was years ago, we had these things that were called CDs. And some of you are going, like, what is that? Like, it was these little things, and they look like Frisbees to you now, but there's these little things, and you, when you really love somebody, like, you say, oh, that's my song for my woman. And so you'd put on this, like, Rico Suave type of persona, and you'd say, hey, baby, and you'd write her these things. Or some of you now, it's like your playlist, right? Hey, I sent you a playlist. Listen to it, because when I listen to this, I think of you. And think of what God is saying here. Like, I got a playlist because there's these songs that I sing over you because my heart finds delight in you. You. I can't wait one day just to stand before the Lord and him just say, hey, let me show you my playlist for you. This is what I've been singing over you. You say, how can you do that? Because he's infinite. Because he's infinite, he can be so intimate. He loves you, has a song for you. The God of infinite love does not love in finite ways like we do. He loves in limitless, infinite ways. You say, well, what about when I mess up? What about when I really just blow it? I love this, Romans 5:20. But as people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. God says, listen, I love you. I love you. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still, what? Sinners, don't miss that, right? You think that somehow God's love is based on your performance. And God says, I loved you when you were in the trash heap doing nothing but rebelling against me. If I loved you to that degree by sending my own son to die for you on the cross, my love never stops. That's why Paul can write in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're never condemned in Christ. So we can say in Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who what? Who loved us. You know what's going to give you the ability to be more than a conqueror? When you realize he loves you. Loves you. You see, seeing God as infinite allows you to be secure in his intimate care. And so only by connecting the two can you begin to rest in who your God really is. The message of Jesus wasn't, hey, bad things will never happen to you. The message was, don't be afraid even when bad things happen to you. Why? Because the God who's infinite is intimately loving you, caring for you, protecting you. So don't be afraid. No matter what you face, you can have confidence in an infinite God who is intimate in his care. So here's what I want you to wrestle with. What would you do if you were absolutely confident that God loved you, personally was caring for you in this way? What would you do? How would you respond? How would you change the way you think about your future? How would you change the way you go about life? I mean, how would you just, I mean, if you really believe this, that God who is infinite loves me in an intimate way and those were connected, how would that change you? How would it transform you? How would it manifests itself in the midst of your life and your ministry and all that you do. That you are absolutely confident and secure in God's care that overwhelms and overshadows every one of your fear. And here's what Jesus says. Yeah, some of you, you're gonna be like wolf, you're gonna be like sheep among wolves. And it's gonna be tough and it's gonna be a struggle and you're gonna wonder and you're gonna doubt and you're gonna be up against things and you're gonna wonder, God, do you really care? God, do you really? And God's gonna say, listen. I do care. I care for you. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. And what Jesus is doing in this moment, saying, I want you to see, I'm inviting you to see by faith in me, your Heavenly Father who loves you in an intimate way. What if you're confident in God's care? Was that firm? What if you really believe that? You know what would happen? No fear. Imagine that. Do not be afraid. Why? Because everything you face has limits. But the one who cares for you so much that he knows the number of hairs on your head and cares about the most trivial things that you don't give any time towards, he cares for. So do not be afraid. Because a God who's intimate is also a God who's infinite. And in that infinite love, he intimately cares for you. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I want to thank you that you were real with us. You just didn't tell us, hey, don't worry, be happy. Nothing will happen to you. Jesus, I want to praise you that you were real with us and you introduced us in a way to see our Heavenly Father in a way that would transform everything. And so God, I pray we would rest in this. God, I pray that we would rest in this, that we can live with no fear no matter what, because you're caring for us. And so God, I pray what you did in my heart, what you do in the hearts of these young men and women as they head into ministry, as they go forward. God, I pray that you would burn upon their hearts and lives this incredible confidence that God, you are far more powerful than they ever want to think about or confess or really believe in the essence of their heart. And God, they are loved with this incredible, rich, intimate love because of how infinite you really are. And so, Lord, I pray you would comfort these men and women. Lord, I pray as they step into tough places and hard areas, and God, some of them, Lord, you're calling them to give the very life that they have for the sake of the kingdom. God, I pray you would comfort them with this love and this support, that they would not get discouraged, they not live with fear, they would not give up, become cynical. But God, they would rest in the power and the glory and the wonder that is found in your infinite, intimate care for them. God, bless them. May the Spirit of God anoint them and may the power of God consume them. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you, Jesus, for these incredible words of Matthew chapter 10. We pray all this in the glorious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and God's people said, amen. I love you. Thank you. God bless.